This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 376. This episode is all about poop. Podcast Panda.
Hello.
How are you?
I am fan-fucking-tabulous.
Did you have a good week?
Yeah.
That took a little while.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take that as an actual yeah.
Yeah.
You worry me.
Yeah.
For lots of reasons, not just that yeah. But
yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
How are you doing, sister?
I'm good. I got a drink in my cup, so I'm ready to talk about games and anime and stuff.
Oh my god, I totally watched Frozen off your Apple TV this morning before the show, and Eshmom was like, let it go. And I'm like, oh, so you've seen this? And she goes, yes. And that Hans guy is a total dick. Spoilers!
What? She spoiled it for you?
No, I'd seen it.
Oh.
But it was hilarious. She's like, that Hans dude, total dick. I'm like, did you see it coming? She goes, nope. I'm like, I did. The minute he showed up, I'm like, 14th in line? And this isn't Game of Thrones? But I put it up on my Facebook, my personal Facebook, and people were like, it's not March 18th yet. I'm like, my sister's got it on lock. If you pre-ordered it on the app, you got it early. So I have it. Neener, 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 neener. Yeah, and by me, I mean you.
So basically, if you pre-ordered it digitally anywhere, so that's ordered it and got it through the Microsoft Store or the iTunes Store, you got to watch it before the DVD drops in 2 weeks.
Yep.
So
I was like, can we come on? I'm like, nope. Let it go. You're gonna have to wait.
Wait. So are you actually Disney blocking off of my library?
Let it go. Yeah, I did. I did it. Yep.
Ouch.
I was like, burns. My sister's awesome.
Well, I also pre-ordered Catching Fire, so that'll be dropping before the DVD, too.
When does that come out?
I want to say a couple weeks.
Woohoo, sweet.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I'm telling you right now, I forbid you from watching that without me.
Okay.
I bought it.
Do you want to build a snowman? It doesn't have to be a snowman.
So, I was going to wait till you watch that movie, and I was just going to literally come upstairs and knock on the door, and when you open the door, I was going to be like, do you want to build a snowman?
Didn't you? The pucker of that kid, I was like, uh-oh. Like, just getting it in the keyhole, I'm like, you could get stuck. Be grateful you're not like a Looney Tunes cartoon, because your lips would have gotten stuck in the keyhole.
Would have gotten stuck. I do think that it's an adorable Disney movie, I have to say.
I absolutely agree.
And I knew something bad was going to happen when both her parents were present at the beginning of the movie.
I'm like, uh-oh.
Like, this is a Disney movie. Something bad won't happen.
It's like, I love this, like, Ilsa, you're gonna be fine. Up, got on a boat. No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Uh-oh.
No.
And it flipped over, they did.
And now we're in a Disney movie because you have no parents.
You, yeah. It was like, this could have been a Pixar movie, and now it's Disney.
Pixar at least lets you have a parent.
Yes.
Can we talk about something really quickly?
Sure.
Okay, so there's this thing that was going around on my socials last week about the truth of who Andy's mom was in Toy Story. Uh-huh. So if you haven't seen the meme, one of the things that they bring up is that in the first Toy Story movie, you see that Andy's wearing a cowboy hat. But the hat that he's wearing isn't Woody's hat.
Right.
It's a lower red hat with white
Lace
fringe.
Lace fringe, yeah. Rope.
Yes. A white rope on the edge. And it looks like it, at some point, had a band around the middle, but that's gone. So, giving you the illusion that the hat is old. It was a hand-me-down, right?
Yes.
I didn't even notice this about the movie. Okay, until I saw the still describing it, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, it does. It does look like it's an old hat. And it didn't even dawn on me that it wasn't Woody's hat. It was just a cowboy hat. You know, and you would think that if Andy, being so into Woody as he is, would have Woody's hat.
Right.
Okay, so I'm following along the meme. Makes sense. They go into it and explain, hey, but you have seen that hat before when you watch the other movies. You notice that it looks a lot like Jesse's hat. Jesse being the female, the cowgirl to Woody's cowboy. And it does look like her hat. It's got the white rim on the outside. Yep. And it has a white band around the same spot where the band is missing, it looks like, on the hat that Andy has. And so then they start down this road where they're like, you have to remember, Jesse's whole thing about being upset is that her girl, Emily, abandoned her.
Right.
Gave her away. And you can see, like, in the flashback that there's a room at one point, and you see the hat and Jesse on the bed. And at the point, the hat that's on the bed has the rim around it, the ribbon around it. And then you see as she's moving out and giving things up, Emily, Jesse's owner,
mm-hmm.
that Jesse's in the box, but the hat is not in the box, which means that the hat probably wasn't given away like Jesse was given away.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So they get down into it and basically say that the hat belonged to Jesse's owner, Emily, and Emily is, in fact, Andy's mom.
Yes.
And that's how Andy gets the hat, is that because she had to give up her toy, the one thing that she kept as her keepsake was the hat. And that when Andy became enamored with Woody, you know, the cowboy to the cowgirl that she had, she gave him the hat as kind of closing the loop. So in essence, and frankly, I wouldn't put it past Pixar, because the threads that they weave in between their movies and tying things together is kind of a donk.
Yes.
That Emily is Andy's mom, that Jesse, who eventually became Andy's toy, was originally his mom's toy.
So it's like coming full circle again.
Yeah, again. And then you get through the next movie where Andy starts growing up and hands off his toys, the whole set.
Yep.
Jesse, Andy, Buzz, all that, to the new little girl to have her adventures and love them and give them a wonderful woman, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, I never even noticed it, but it totally makes sense.
By the way, where's Andy's dad?
So the other thing that they hint to in a different meme is that Andy's parents are divorced or divorcing, and that's why you never see the dad around, and why they move from that big, big house to a smaller house.
Pixar. Because the whole
reason
smart.
Why the whole reason why they get lost is because they're moving.
Right.
Right?
Pixar talking about big issues in a very indirect way.
And so the running story is that Andy's parents in the first movie are together, but in the second movie, they divorce.
Ooh.
Or they're divorcing, and that's why they're moving.
Pixar.
You know what? Okay. And then the third movie, Andy's going to college.
But you
don't see his dad either. So by the third movie, they're divorced.
Right. Well, and
that's why his sister is so chaotic and
all that
kind of stuff. And he's trying desperately to figure out what he wants to bring and what he doesn't want to bring, and figuring out his life and his next path and all that kind of stuff. Fucking Pixar, man.
You know what I'd love for Pixar? Wait, was it Pixar that did Paper Man, or was that Disney that did the short?
That's Pixar.
I'd really love for Pixar to actually make Paper Man an actual, like, full-length movie.
I don't know. It is
so enchanting, though.
It is, but it's so enchanting because it's such a great story in a condensed amount of time.
Oh, man, I'd like it a little longer. Just a little bit. Because, like, you get all warm and you get all tingly and you're like, oh my god, love exists, and then it stops.
I don't think that you would buy the magic that happens for a 90-minute
No, not nine, not 90 minutes. No, no. I'm like, they say nothing to each other for 90 minutes, and now they're in love?
Hey, The Artist was a silent movie.
But there were words being said in The Artist. They just didn't have, they didn't even hear the words.
So all I'm saying is I don't think that it really should be much longer than it is. I think the reason why it is so touching
I want to meet, well, I've already met. I want to rewind and re-meet the Biffle with no words and be attacked by paper until we join again at a Subway. That counts. That sounds really kind of awkward,
actually. Yeah, that sounds actually...
Why does it really look so good when Pixar does it?
Because Pixar's really good at making things look good.
I guess. So, anyway, that's our Disney-Pixar tangent.
Yeah, so there's the tangent. One, Frozen, you should watch it. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it, because it's awesome.
Watch it. We're still kind of talking about Frozen. Can I say one thing?
Oh, Lord.
One other thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
It's your podcast. All right,
well, I guess it's two things. One, I didn't know Kristen Bell could sing.
How did you not know that Kristen Bell could sing? Did you not ever see any of the musical episodes of Veronica Mars?
No, I never watched Veronica Mars.
Oh. Well, sad on you. Continue.
Anyway, so I didn't know she could sing, so yay. And then two, now I have to preface this now.
Oh, here we go.
I love Idina Menzel. I do. I love her.
Am I going to have a headache when you finish?
So much. However, and I loved her in the role of Ilsa when she spoke, I feel like her voice was way too powerful. Like, I think she was letting it go. Especially during, you know, obviously, Let It Go.
So here's the thing. I disagree. I think she actually restrained herself a lot. Like, I've heard Idina blow, and I feel like she tried to... Shut up. I feel like she tried to make herself sound younger and try to restrain it.
Okay, maybe.
Even in Let It Go.
I don't know. Like, yeah. I'm just like...
No.
I understand that this is your... I'm free. I'm like a bird and I gotta fly away. Like, this was her Nelly Furtado moment. For real. But I was like,
did you just say Idina Menzel had a Nelly Furtado moment and not Nelly Furtado had an Idina Menzel moment?
No.
Wow.
No. In this movie.
Yep.
Maybe Ilsa, the character, more or less, had a I'm like a bird moment.
Okay. I'll buy that.
But I strained the first time I saw the movie. I was like, I felt like it was a little overpowering. Now, I know it's supposed to be like the big dramatic, oh my God, I don't give a fuck no more, which I get. But I'm like, it's a little
short. So let me ask you this, Panda. If you didn't know that it was Idina Menzel.
There's no way I wouldn't know from those vocals.
That's what I'm saying. But take yourself out of it. Pretend that you're not a drama nerd.
Pretend that I am not me.
Pretend that you're somebody else.
Oh my God. Okay.
And you don't know that it's Idina Menzel behind that voice.
I'd probably love it and have nothing to say.
Exactly. So,
but I'm me, I obviously have something to say.
So again, that's just your drama nerd being a snob.
The story is very theatrically set. Like, that's why it's obviously got greenlit for Broadway.
Frozen was written to be turned into a musical.
It should have just been born a musical on Broadway and then animated. And it's probably going to get a Tony.
It's going to. Becomes the musical that is... Because it starts with the music.
Whoever was on board for Frozen, you are probably going to be the closest person to an EGOT next to Adele.
And it will probably go ahead and take the spot that, like, Tarzan leaves behind. So Disney was smart. They've built themselves an amazing musical that will easily translate to Broadway.
Yep. And I hope they get Idina Menzel.
Of course they're going to get Idina Menzel.
And then she'll be able to belt it because it'll be so much better in theater.
Correct.
So that was my theater Frozen moment brought to you by me, Pandalicious.
Yep. Drama nerd brought to you by Pandalicious.
Certified geek.
You are not a certified geek.
Hey.
I don't see no paperwork.
Certified drama nerd. I've won several awards for my acting abilities. I have those, I'm actually.
I know you do.
I have several awards for my acting Panda. Gravitas.
Panda?
Yeah.
Put your gravitas in your pants.
In my pants. Anyway, so now we're going to talk about what we normally talk about.
It's supposed to be about video games and anime. And there's not a Frozen video game yet.
Yes.
I'm sure there will be, just because there are a couple of different little battles that pop up in there that would make a great kids game. And seeing as how Disney's turned about just about every other movie that they've come out with into some kind of game, I can't imagine.
So there'll be several levels where you're Anna and you're battling snow until you get to Olaf. And then when you go to the trolls are having a problem. And when you help the trolls.
It's probably like a maze thing that you have to get through with the trolls.
And they'll be like, and now you found your true love in Kristoff.
Where it's like a Sonic level where you have to like dash between being a troll running and being a troll ball.
Well, I mean, obviously we're probably going to get Ilsa and Anna figures for Infinity.
They already have them. They had the figures actually for Frozen were done before the movie actually came out.
For Infinity. Wait, is it Ilsa with her ice gown on looking all...
It's a pair of them. So they're a combined pair. You can't buy them independently.
Oh, well,
so it's Ilsa and Anna in a set. And
Hans can go kiss my ass.
There's no Hans. There's no Sven.
Oh, there needs to be a Kristoff, though.
There's no Kristoff.
Kissy face.
But the sisters do exist in Frozen. I haven't gotten those figures yet.
Oh, I should get them for you. But like, do you want to build a snowman?
It's a toy set, so I wonder if it actually has a chest. So you can have a
chest and sisters.
No, so that you can have a Frozen level game. Right. Because there are sets in Infinity, Disney Infinity, that are just characters. And so those are characters that you can use in the toy box, but they don't have their own play set, like their own level built off of their environment.
So you can just play them in other places.
Correct.
Got it.
Or in other mini games in the toy chest, but they don't have their own level. Like, as example, the Lone Ranger set has a toy box so that you can play in the Old West. Like we did?
Yes, I remember.
So I'm wondering if the Frozen one has a toy set that you can play in, or if the characters are just available in the toy box or not. So that'll be an interesting thing to look up. And, you know, hey, if you want to get them for me, that's cool.
I probably will.
That's cool. All right, so on the video game anime tip, I got one I want to start off with. It's going to be pretty quick. South Park Stick of Truth.
We getting it. Well, I mean, now that'd be really hard because I'm potentially getting a PS4, you have an Xbox One.
So this is why you keep your old system connected, or at least one of them. While my PS3 is on hiatus in its box, my Xbox 360 is not. Because, one, I haven't finished Grand Theft Auto. Two, I haven't finished Assassins. Three, I haven't finished Far Cry.
Four, you have a big backlog.
I still have some DLC for Saints Row that we need to play, Panda, because you haven't played any of the DLC.
I know.
And you need to get on that. So we need to play that so you can have that. Experience. So I kept my Xbox 360 connected. I do have my Xbox One. South Park Stick of Truth is only available on the PS3, the Xbox 360, and PC.
Ah, they haven't made builds for the now current gen.
No, because you got to remember, when the game was first announced...
It was good. Yes.
Those boxes no es existo. And then it was delayed.
Beaucoup delayed.
Beaucoup de... Nope.
Beaucoup de... Mm-mm.
And so it's finally coming out. March 4th. Just in case, you know, you needed a reminder. Because some of you might. Stick of Truth. So, here's my dilemma. I don't play turn-based games.
I do!
But, I love South Park.
So do I!
Now, with my PS3 retired, does my love of South Park trump the turn-based enough to pick it up for the Xbox 360?
Yes.
I think so. I think I might pick it up.
Oh.
Which is big for me. As Panda can attest.
I can. I'm attesting.
Because turn-based RPGs mostly piss me off.
And they're mostly my sheets.
They are. But since my Xbox 360 is still connected, and right now I'm mostly just using it to play Grand Theft Auto and to play Assassin's Creed, and I've really been focused on Assassins because I'm trying to finish that up. I just finished all the naval contracts. Now I'm trying to do the assassination contracts. I need something to play on my Xbox 360. And I need basically a new game to be my gap until Titanfall comes out for the Xbox One. Because that's really the, for me, next big Xbox One title. I played Rise, Son of Rome. I absolutely enjoyed it. We talked about that on the show when it came out and when I first unboxed my Xbox One. And I've really been looking for a unique experience on the Xbox One, trying not to just play ports of existing platform games, because I don't think that that's a fair assessment of a new console.
It's not.
So, no Definitive Edition, no Thief or Assassins on the Xbox One. Looking forward to Titanfall. But I think I'm going to pick up Stick of Truth. Now, for any of you who don't know what Stick of Truth is, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the guys who created South Park, who are big gamers in their own right, finally created a big turn-based game. And basically, the idea was to take the episode of South Park where they were basically playing Game of Thrones, and where the kids broke up into two factions, with Cartman being a wizard and leading one group of kids.
And Kenny becoming the pretty Japanese princess.
Basically, and leading another group of kids. And turning that into a turn-based game and blowing it out.
And then the Red Robin wedding. Which was excellent.
Red Robin.
Yum.
So, one, it's one of my favorite multi-episode South Park episodes. I think that they did a really good job.
It's better than Coon and Friends?
No. I said it's one of my favorite. I didn't say it was my favorite.
Was your favorite Coon and Friends?
Yeah, that was.
I also like the one with Kenny being the superhero and you find out how he keeps coming back.
That's Coon and Friends.
Is it?
Yes.
I thought it was the Mysterio.
Mysterio was part of that.
Oh.
Remember, it was Coon and Friends and they threw Cartman out.
Right.
Oh. Cartman became friends with Cthulhu.
That's right.
And
Coon and Friends.
Mysterio also.
I'm glad that the black kid was not Coon. That would have been really bad. And I know that they were probably thinking about it.
No, that's why you have Cartman do it. Yeah. And becomes way more offensive.
Yeah.
Than if Cartman just made Token the Coon.
Yeah.
Okay? And so that's how you discover, one,
how you can be racist without being racist.
Kenny's whole thing.
His story. Yep. And how that happens.
And what Kenny looks like.
True. True.
And I like the second time outside of the movie.
I loved his fake Batman voice,
too. Yes, his Christian Bale Batman voice?
His Christian Bale voice.
Yeah. I love that. So, with Stick of Truth, I think, finally coming out.
And what a great lead-in from their Game of Thrones into their game. Like, that was probably the best lead-in at the end of that trilogy, to even talk about Stick of Truth. I think it was great.
Yeah, I
had a great team on that.
It's just funny, and it's just my kind of funny all the way around, so I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on it. And frankly, if it gets to the point where it gets frustrating, I'm just going to have Panda come down and play it.
Well, maybe I should oversee, because if you don't build yourself properly, then fights...
Well, then Panda, maybe you should just come down and play it with me from the beginning.
I think you should do that.
There is a collector's edition that's available that comes with a wizard figurine of Cartman and a map of
the town, of course,
and some additional characters and a couple other neat little tchotchkes. And it's really not that much more than just the regular version, which I think is one of the reasons why more people should pick it up, because the regular version is $59. For the game, the collector's edition is $79.
That's not bad.
So, it's kind of like $20 difference. Might as well go ahead, pick it up. And you can get the collector's edition from a bunch of different places, including Amazon and GameStop. But you can also pick it up at Target and Walmart, which I think is interesting. Because Target, the one that really surprises me there, not so much Target, but Walmart, because Walmart tends to be very careful and selective about the adult nature of content that they carry in their stores.
True.
And one thing about Stick of Truth is that it is uncensored. Like, the episodes of South Park when you buy them outright.
Oh.
As opposed to listening to them on Comedy Central. Because when you buy South Park episodes, either through the iTunes store or on digital disc, they're not censored.
So all those bleeps are
all
not
the stuff
there?
That's bleeped on the air is not bleeped on disc.
Oh.
So it's all of the language. And I'm kind of surprised that Walmart is carrying it.
So wait, the whole episode where they literally like said shit and ass like all night and they had a counter?
Yeah, yeah. When they
the
were,
actual episode?
Yeah, when they were running the FCC episode? Yeah.
You hear actually all the, hear all the
you hear
asses
all
and
the
shits.
Yep.
Get out.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, now I want to watch it more. But okay.
So I'm looking forward to that. And just being able to control different characters.
And make your own.
And make your own, I think, will be interesting. Plus, it's a land that I love. Like, I'm really just wanting to get into this game to find out what the heck is going to happen with Butters. Because I love that character.
I said, what in the Butters?
Poor Butters. It's just, he just wants to be friends.
Yep, and That's he wants all. To sell you a floppy wiener.
He doesn't want to sell you a floppy wiener. He wants the floppy wiener to stop. He's yep. sent on a mission to stop the floppy wiener.
He just doesn't want... He's like, you didn't even call for the pizza. The pizza's not coming.
So, South Park, Stick of Truth. Obsidian worked on it. It's being released by Ubisoft. March 4th. Get it. Play it.
Enjoy it.
Tell us about your experience with it. I really want to hear from you guys. So hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on our Facebook page. Let us know that you're playing and what you think. I'll even share my experiences as we go along. Until Titanfall comes on and then...
Well then.
And then...
And then and Titanfall.
Then Titanfall. But finally, Stick of Truth, really and truly.
Yay!
In my hands.
Yay!
Kazoo sound! That's the best kazoo I can make without
that,
actually
that
having a kazoo.
That was okay.
I don't have a kazoo!
I wouldn't write home.
If you had told me to have a kazoo for the episode, I would have got a kazoo. But you didn't.
I didn't.
So, what do you have for the people, Panda?
Well, see, now that we've gone all like.
Then I have an anime thing.
I don't have an anime thing right now.
I have an anime thing.
So you started on the funny, light, ha ha ha, and now I'm about to get, like, mad serious.
Why you gotta get so serious, bro?
Well, that's because that's what my topic is.
Oh.
So I wanted to talk about Dark Souls 2.
Oh, ouch. Ouch.
A little
See,
bit.
See, I don't play the Dark Souls because I'm not a glutton for punishment.
You didn't play Demon's Souls. And
sure.
You didn't play Dark Soul.
I didn't play Dark Soul.
And there's
I didn't
no
play
way.
Demon Soul.
Demon again, Souls came first.
This is what I'm saying.
Demon's Souls.
Okay.
It's demons, possessive souls. So
okay, ready?
One demon's multiple souls.
Yep, ready? Didn't play it. Because I watched you play for like 15 minutes.
Yep.
Saw how pissed you were getting.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't even backseat gaming at that point. Because usually when you get pissed when I'm watching games, because I'm backseat gaming, and I completely understand. But I was just watching.
Yeah.
And you were getting mad pissed.
Well, because, I mean, and let's go back in our gaming history.
Let's travel
the glasses and flipping the page. The original, you know, Demon's Souls came out on Halloween, right? And they did not purposely hype up this game and tell everybody what they were expecting for the game because they really wanted, Atlas just wanted to fuck with people. That's what they wanted to do.
They're very good at it.
They're great at it. And they were like, we're just going to show you how much we're going to fuck with you. Because when you played Demon's Souls, and if you got it on release on Halloween, one, you weren't out because you were playing Demon's Souls. And two, as you're playing it on Halloween, you don't realize that the game is pretty much set at its maximum difficulty. Because the way that they did their difficulty system wasn't that you chose a mode and that's what you played in. Depending on when you played and how you played, the world tendencies in those worlds would either get darker or lighter. And on times like Halloween.
So if you Leroy Jenkins did, it got harder?
Well, see, when you first start the game, you have your body. But then to explain the mechanics to you about the game, you die in the tutorial, thus losing your body. And you end up in World 1, and the game doesn't fully begin until you clear World 1, beat the boss of World 1, and get your body back. So tutorial is really World 1 until you get out of that.
Right.
Every time that you die, Like, if you have your physical body in a world and you die in it, the tendency of that world goes down. So imagine that all these worlds, and there are five in Demon's Souls.
Yeah.
And you start off in world one, and you already bring down the tendency because you're dead. Then on top of that, being the opening day being on Halloween, which is, you know, a pagan dark holiday, all the worlds were pure black on Halloween. Pure black, which means the toughest that they could possibly get. So on top of it already being pure black and you dying in the initial tutorial, you are fucked. And they didn't tell anybody until after the game came out that was the deal. So needless to say, that Halloween I was quite pissed, quite angry, got really mad after 20 minutes, took a rage poop.
Rage poop!
Which, obviously, I don't know if, you know, I'm sure our audience knows what rage poops are, but if you don't, if you're really angry, like you're really pissed off at somebody or something, your boss, just go to a bathroom and poop. You will come out so relaxed that you will not care that you were angry at whatever. But moving back to our actual topic and non-poo.
Yeah, because we don't just talk about shit.
We don't. We talk about the psychological and torments of poop on this show.
Tormental poop!
But anyway, so coming out of Demon's Souls, and I played that three times through, which every
because
time...
Because you are a glutton for punishment.
I am, kind of. I have a thing about Satan.
Not kind of.
In my games.
Just accept it, Panda.
I do. And the funny thing about Demon's Souls is the more times you play it, like, to completion and you start over, it gets even harder on top of that.
Why? Why you do that to yourself?
To test my gaming ability.
Sometimes you just want to have fun, Ben.
And sometimes brutal punishment is fun for me.
No.
So then Dark Souls comes out.
Sadist!
Then Dark Souls comes out, which, and this is where my fatal mistake was, because I got Demon's Souls for my PS3.
Right.
And then I went and got Dark Souls on my Xbox.
Okay.
Played it for like a day, and the control system, even though relatively map similar, is not. And jumped into that game and was just fucking up. Like, fucking up.
Because you can't play this game right.
Right. So then I was like, you know what? I'm going to trade it for a PS3 version so I will suck less. And that didn't happen.
Oh, because you suck just as much.
Yes, because they decided that they were going to fuck with us even more in Dark Souls. Because instead of, you know, because in Demon's Souls, when you were about to face a boss battle, you were in front of this giant foggy door. And until you pressed it and you went through it, did the boss battle start? Well, in Demon's Souls, like, you know, we're not even going to give you that preempt. You're just going to walk into an area and there could be a boss in there. And if you get too close, you're going to initiate the boss fight. So here you are, level one in Dark Souls.
Yep.
And you don't know where you're going.
You're walking into a room.
You're exploring the room because you think you're still in tutorial. Fuck no. They assume that you played the first one. You know what you're doing. Here's a boss. And you're like, fuck. And that's literally me. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? And then, of course, I read my guide. And it's like, yeah, no more doors. I'm like, oh. So here I am with my, like, stick. Because I'm like a wizard with very little magic. What do you want me to do? What? Run away? What? Where? Oh, that little sliver in the corner is a door? How would I have known that, game? But whatever.
You're not bitter or anything.
I'm not. I got halfway through Dark Souls before I said, I need the break. And that break is still going on right now. Currently.
It's a long hiatus.
However, when I saw them announce back at the end of 2000, I think they mentioned a Dark Souls 2 back in 2012. Then they teased a little bit more about it in 2013 that we were getting one. And when I saw that, I was like, and I'm playing that one. And, you know, everyone was kind of like, why? You hated Dark Souls 1 so much. And I'm like, because of what they're willing to offer me in Dark Souls 2. So let me tell you.
Yeah, really.
Why and what those things are.
Mm-hmm.
So, in Dark Souls 2, we are not necessarily, it's not a successor to Dark Souls 1, even though it does happen in the same world. So, some of the areas may look slightly familiar, but
so
we're not...
So, it's a spiritual successor and not a direct
sequel to.
Okay.
Which makes no sense. It's Dark Souls 2, you'd think, Pia. But whatever. I'm not part of the development team. I would have put my hand up and said, you know what, maybe it shouldn't be called that. But anyway, It's going to happen in the same world, which is nice. And we're going to have the element of time play a serious factor in the game. Which, and this is what really kind of sparked it for me. Because when you look at this game as a whole, they're really testing your skills in a true world. Because there's no invisible walls. So if you're on a cliff and you walk too close, you fall off the cliff, you die. Like, there's no, haha, you're safe. There's no element of safety in this game. Nowhere. And the fact that our character, because you will be able to create your character how you want in this game, again, which is nice. And being able to take that character and not only traverse to different worlds, but have time periods in those worlds affect what possibly goes on in other worlds.
Okay.
So that to me is really interesting, because then you're going to be really careful as to what world you go to in what pattern. Once you've discerned what that pattern is, and I mean, I don't know what it is yet. I haven't played the game, and this is why I want to find out, because I'd love to see how it's all going to spherically loop together, because we all know that time is not a linear concept. It's spherical.
It's got curves.
Mm-hmm. Sexy time curves.
Time got curves.
And I'm really curious about that, because I mean, I've always liked games that dealt with an element of time and seeing what one, like the butterfly effect thing, which is why I liked that first game I got for PS3, where literally you kept dying and you had to figure out how to not die. I can't even remember what the name of that game was.
I don't even remember what that game was.
I got it the same time I got Onimusha. I still have it. I know I still have it in my trunk of games somewhere.
I don't know.
But I played a blonde guy, and it was like in Germany, and I kept going back in the time, and babies were being switched.
I don't know.
But it was a good game, and I liked that game because of its concept of time.
You're a weirdo.
And, I mean, and it's why I keep trying to play Final Fantasy 13 and 13-2 because of their, well, more, I guess, Final Fantasy 13-2 because
of its... Wait, is 13-2 Lightning Returns?
No. Okay. I have to readjust for this.
I just hurt Panda in the gaming loins.
Okay.
And do I want to play 13 Lightning Returns?
Okay, so... as I adjust my,
oh, here it comes.
My scarf, my silk scarf. The order is Final Fantasy 13.
Uh-huh.
Final Fantasy 13-2. Uh-huh. That's with time. That has time elements in it, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that is Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns.
Uh-huh.
Which I guess...
Where's Realm Reborn?
That's Final Fantasy 14. That's online.
Uh-huh.
And you can play on the PC or on the PS3.
Uh-huh.
That's more like a WoW. I can't see you playing that.
Okay, where's the one that's action RPG?
Okay, so...
That's the one I want to play.
So, well, I mean, Final Fantasy 13, 13-2, and Lightning Returns, their combat system is far more action RPG based.
Is it Kingdom Hearts RPG or not?
It's really close, but I would not say that it's
the closest that it will get. Because there's one that is supposed to be. Is that the one after Realm Reborn?
Well, see...
Is that 15?
See, initially, my dear sister... When the Final Fantasy 13 games were going to come out initially,
yep. Mm-hmm.
They were going to do a 1, mm-hmm. a 2,
yep.
and a Versus.
Yep.
And Final Fantasy 13 Versus was even though named Versus, was not going to be a fighting game.
Right.
It was going to be an action RPG.
I remember that. And that's the one that I want to play.
And there's no news about what possibly will happen... With
yeah,
that
they had the trailers at the E3.
Yeah,
remember when they were like
a long time ago,
and they were like this last E3 in June, and they were like, yeah, so we're gonna fix this, and they like took the 13 off of 14 and made it 14, and everyone was like, yeah,
and have you seen it?
Because 14 is Realm Reborn.
14 is Realm Reborn.
And then they're going to have a 15, and they showed a trailer. And 15, I think, is versus 15 before,
is going
and
to
it's
be...
it's
going to
be the action RPG.
It could be. But
isn't it? You're the Final Fantasy person. Yes. This is why I'm asking you. Yes,
and it could be. But it hasn't come up in my threads because everyone's talking about how much they love Final Fantasy Lightning Returns, which is seriously just Final Fantasy 13 plus Final Fantasy 10-2 with fucking dress spheres. And let me tell you
Gaming Talk. Wait, so 13-2 isn't the one with the dress spheres?
No, thank the fuck God. Oh, no. So Final Fantasy 13-2 was, I got snow, and I have an Eddie on that's two chicks that scissor because I'm hot, and I'm with Sarah. Oh no, she's turned into a crystal, and I have to hang out with her sister, who I dislike because she hates me because I want to tap her sister. I don't even... Anyway.
And then Panda's brain exploded.
And Final Fantasy 13-2 was, hey... We understand you didn't like the first one because Lightning was such a cold stone bitch.
Wasn't that just 13-2?
No, that was 13. I just talked about. 13-2 was like, hey, we understand that you didn't like Lightning as a character, even though she's totally fucking Cloud from Final Fantasy VII that everybody loves. But we're going to turn it around. We're going to change perspective.
Wait, Lightning is doing what now to Cloud?
Lightning from Final Fantasy XIII was conceptualized and made by the same dude who made Cloud from Final Fantasy VII. They are essentially the same character, except Lightning has pink hair, tits, and a vagina. And okay. Well, she's not a clone. Maybe. This is totally different subplot thinking. But moving back, Final Fantasy 13-2, they changed the perspective and made the protagonist Sarah.
Yeah.
And made it so that she and this other dude named Noel...
Mm-hmm.
Who I think was far awesome than Snow, and I feel like she should have just gotten with him and been done with it, are pretty much jumping between timelines to figure out what really happened to Lightning. Because apparently what happened in 13 at the end was not necessarily what happened, and now they're jumping backwards. They didn't know what they were going to do.
Okay.
So they built it around the love story, possible love story of, you know, Sarah and Noel, even though that never happens because she's in love with Snow. Okay. So.
That sounded really disgusting.
It is. Continue. I don't like
I'm talking about the noise you made, not the snowing.
I liked the concept of Final Fantasy 13-2 in the fact that they were dealing with timelines and discussing the idea of paradoxes, where when one thing happens here, it will have a major effect somewhere else, and you have to restore all the paradoxes in order for things to flow.
Right.
Like, that was really interesting. Mm-hmm. However, if you don't commit to playing that game fully, which is something, this is a cardinal sin that I have now done, now when I go back to Final Fantasy 13-2, I don't remember all the things that I did. So I'm like, I can't be jumping around because I don't remember what I was trying to do the first time. So it does become tedious.
Mm-hmm.
That's Final Fantasy 13-2.
Okay.
Final Fantasy...
Lightning Returns.
Lightning Returns is lightning-based again. Mm-hmm. And instead of having a team, you know, and changing your paradigm
your
shifts...
Your sortie.
Mm-hmm. And stuff, now she does it all herself via costume change, which is reminiscent of the dress spheres from Final Fantasy X-2. Which, as you know, I was not a fan of Final Fantasy X-2.
No.
I bought
Panda no likey.
I bought it on release day thinking, oh man, this is going to be totally awesome. And girl power. And the more I played it, I said, what? I'm like, Yuna was so well-rounded at the end of her game. And it was so beautiful when Tidus disappeared because he wasn't real. And, like, now she decides to chop off her summoner's dress, put on some short shorts, and become a treasure hunter. I'm like, she just saved the world.
Maybe she just wanted to take, like, you know, a walkabout.
Well, and so then you
saving
just,
the world.
So then
heavy
you be
stuff.
Like a Rurouni Kenshin and you wander the world helping people. You don't put on booty shorts dueling guns. Which, they didn't get guns until they went to fucking Bavel.
Wait, Panda. But Yuna might. She might not be like the thinking wanderer.
And then
she might be
and then because her hair is all like nice and short, they like fade out, and then they give her a fucking rat's tail. A giant braided fucking rat's tail and like a tube top that doesn't really tube or top. Really? And then they give her Riku with a short skirt and a thong. And they give her a Lulu
Panda.
And, like, belt pants and a cloud sword. And I'm like, what?
Panda.
What?
Panda.
I am so angry right now.
Panda, girls just want to have fun.
Fuck that noise. Fuck it. Ah! Anyway.
So, does Lightning get booty shorts? So, going back to Lightning Returns. You are Lightning, and apparently at this point, they have now kind of made it, because I guess Lightning is now like a champion of time, and is kind of like a god of some sort. Sure. I have not played it, and I'm refusing to.
If I got it, would you play it?
Probably, but I'm not buying it. Anyway, I refuse to endorse it. Anyway, and
your money, and but other people's money is fine.
Yes, fine. Fine. And if you feed me, because I'm going to need to raid shit after I play this game. And, but apparently in Lightning Returns, Lightning is traversing this tower. And by getting to the top of the tower, she's going to save the internet. And on each level of the tower, and there's like 100, I'm going to assume, like I said, didn't play the game. I don't know. But all the paradigm shifting things are now abilities that she can do by herself. So she has to, you have to switch between paradigms, and those paradigm shifts are reflective by her outfit.
So at least there's a real reason to change the outfit.
They have given a fact, a true statement of fact, as to why the changes of costume are necessary. And you can customize them so they can be personal colors to reflect your fucking soul.
Don't they also have a Lara Croft outfit? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I hurt you?
Anyway.
Well, if she's hopping timelines.
No. Lightning is not hopping timelines in Lightning Returns.
Oh.
She is battling up these levels of this tower,
uh-huh.
Getting to the top of it, because something at the top of it is going to allow her to correct all the fuck-ups via Final Fantasy 13 and 13-2. Apparently. I do not know. Do not quote me. Because I have not
played this game. So, Lightning Returns. Let me just summarize.
Yeah. Go ahead, try.
Lightning is the doctor?
Lightning? Yes. But even though Lightning is the doctor, she cannot leave this tower.
So she can't leave her TARDIS?
Like, she can't. She's stuck in... Yes. Yes. Lightning is the doctor.
Stuck in her TARDIS.
Stuck in her multi-leveled towered TARDIS.
Mm-hmm.
Battling her way up
to the top of the TARDIS in order to unravel and fix the things that have been set wrong.
Yes.
See, why is it say it like that?
But this is also just
easier to understand.
This is just my speculation, because I will not buy the game in order to play it.
But maybe I'll buy it and make you play it.
If you buy it and you feed me pizza.
I think that would be an amazing thing. Like, games I don't want to play but will pay if you feed me.
Yep. That would be a great video segment. I will play this game if you feed me. Because otherwise, I refuse to get
it. Force-fed play.
Now, mind you, I've heard that people have said very positive things for this game. And I mean, Square Enix, we already know, makes very pretty people. Makes very pretty costumes. It's kind of their thing.
Square has never made a boring environment or a non-attractive...
Have you not walked through the Comlands? Probably not. So do not say that. So their settings are nice, and the stories that they build are really, really nice, if they really allow a player to explore them fully the way that we would love to as players. But, you know, the thing about Square Enix is it's finally time, in my opinion, that they stop making video games outside of Kingdom Hearts 3, so I'm so glad that that's finally coming out, because maybe they can just take a nap. Square Enix needs to take a break from video games and do what they really want to do, which is make movies. But it cannot be the
Final
Fantasy.
I'm sorry, did you see Final Fantasy Advent?
I liked Advent Children. I hate that Spirits Within shit. Leave space alone, Square Enix. You're about fantasy. You're not about space and logic, because you obviously don't understand the concepts of
leave
science.
Leave the space and logic to Star Trek.
Yes. Do not put things in space. I mean, concepts of space, like space as in time... Fine. You had a really good idea with that. I enjoyed that in Final Fantasy X-2. I mean, 13-2. Do that. But don't put people in space. Don't do it.
Work with Monty Ohm and make movies.
Please.
Can they make playable movies like Beyond Two Souls?
That I would not be against. But stop making video games. Then again, I can't say that because there is apparently a Final Fantasy VII remake that they're doing.
Oh, you heard about that?
Yes, I did. Of course I did.
Don't say of course I did. We talk all the time about all kinds of news and you're like, I didn't know about that.
Well, because I don't talk about Final Fantasy stuff with you because you're not
in my circle.
You can talk about Final Fantasy with me. Just understand that I didn't play it.
Right. Well, the remake is going to happen for Final Fantasy VII. And no, this is not going to be the Dirge of Cerberus with Vincent, which I bought begrudgingly and own still.
You weren't that begrudgingly buying.
Well, I bought it because I was like, yay, Vincent, he's so sexy. And then I'm like, oh, so I'm just going to float around with your cape now? That's what I'm going to do for 40 minutes until I get bored?
Yep.
And then go back and do it again just because I like the sound of your cape?
Yep.
Which is totally something that I did.
Yep.
If anyone has beat Dirge of Cerberus, please tell me what happens, because I didn't.
I'm sure there's somebody who beat it.
I'm sure there's like six, and they all meet at like a Taco Bell. And like, hey, remember that time we played that game and beat it? Yeah. And then they all walk away and have poops later. But why is this episode all about shit? Because we're talking about Square Enix and their horrible ability to do a Final Fantasy game correctly now.
Oh.
That's how that happened. Okay. And mind you, I was talking about Dark Souls. So we went from Dark Souls to shit, to Square Enix to shit, back to shit, and Taco Bell and shit.
That's a lot of shit.
Needless to say. Oh, because of the concept of time. So anyway, going back to Dark Souls, time. Dark Souls 2, time is going to be a factor in this game, and that's really the most interesting component. All the things that we liked, air quotes.
And what are those things?
So those things,
for those of us who maybe didn't like
so
it.
So those things that we liked from Dark Souls and Demon Souls, you know, the whole no level, like no difficulty mode, because they're going to build the difficulty around
your gameplay,
the player and their play style. Their ability to, you know, have people come into your game and literally fuck your shit up, you know, in the term of red phantoms or black phantoms. The ability to be a blue phantom in another game, other people's games, is going to come back and happen. The world will have a new interesting way of allowing players to progress more. They're going to give us more liberty with exploring stuff instead of, I hope this
means...
So
it's not a forced linear path?
Right. So, I mean, I feel like in Dark Souls where, like, you can explore any room on this level that you want to. We're not going to bar you. But at the same time, be aware that because we're not going to bar you, you'll have no idea what you're going to get when you go into an area. So I literally kind of expect that when I put Dark Souls 2 into my console of choice, by the time it comes out, that literally the first battle you're going to, like, right off the bat after you make your game, you're going to be in the middle of a boss fight. And I feel like they're like, you could try to fight this boss. You could let this boss beat you. You could try to run away. You could do the electric slide.
It's electric.
You could kiss your butt. We're going to let you do whatever you as a gamer feel you should naturally do in this situation. Have at it. And I like the freedom of that, which is why I'm willing to punish myself over and over, because these are all choices that I am willingly making.
Sadist!
So whatever befalls me is completely and utterly on my shoulders.
Masochist!
And I'm going to take that pain and knowledge and become a better person / player because of them. Or at least this is what my mind thinks I'm going to do.
What I'll actually do
is get mad, cry, drive to the Stop and Shop, grab some Ben and Jerry's, bring it home, take two bites, be like, why am I doing this? Throw the ice cream, then clean the ice cream up, like a little bit off of the floor, just to make sure I really don't want
it. Ew, you're grody.
Then I'm going to take a nap, then I'm going to take a rage poop, and then I'm going to put the game in its case.
Why are you rage poop?
I'm going to put the game back in the case, put it in my giant trunk of games, where in 4 months I'll take it back out and try again.
I don't understand the rage poop.
But apparently, in terms of reception, a lot of people, very much like me, are really looking forward to, you know, getting spanked in this game, because apparently a lot of people like to be spanked.
Masochists!
Yeah. But anyway, I will obviously keep you up on all Dark Soul-related news, and when I start playing, because I'm sure if you're following me on Facebook or at Land of Esh, the day that I played, I'll be like, yay, Dark Souls 2! And then 2 minutes later, boo, Dark Souls 2! Very much in the same manner as
And
Dark
then
Souls
I'll
1.
Be commenting, smiley face!
Like, I'm playing Stick of Truth!
And that's,
or Titanfall.
And that's really all I had to talk about was, you know, the series of games that I like but hate at the same. I love to hate them and hate to love them.
Sadist.
Yes. And I'm done.
Well, the final thing that I have before we're out for this episode is anime related, because I've been watching a bunch of anime. So many, in fact, that I can't keep track of what I've talked about on the show now and ones that I haven't.
Did you watch another episode of that really etchy one?
Papillon Rose? No, because, no.
Because dudes be
no.
boinking cats.
No, there's no, no.
Meow, meow,
no.
meow.
No,
meow.
And no.
Lactating boobies.
No. No, Panda.
Vibrators no. coming out of vaginas.
Panda, this is not what I'm talking about.
Okay, what are you talking about?
So I'm talking about a series called Jormungand.
Okay.
And I probably pronounced it wrong, but
it sounds German.
It starts with a J, so that's how I'm going to pronounce it.
Yeah, you're bombastic.
It's based off of a manga called Jormungandr. Which I can say. Okay. So I'm going to say that it's kind of in that line of Jormungand is probably where it was going there with the J.
Okay.
Anyway, it was a manga series and got licensed by Viz to become an anime series. There are two seasons of it, Jormungand and Jormungand Perfect Order. Funimation licensed both of those. So I know the first season's available on DVD. I don't know if the second season's yet available. I'm just talking about the first season. What I like about it is it's an interesting series. So, I'm going to say main protagonists, because there really are two lead characters in this anime series, are a character named Coco Heckmark TR and a character named Jonah.
Okay.
Coco is an arms dealer. Jonah is a child soldier. So from the time that he was very, very young, was kidnapped, taken in some form, and forced to become a soldier. So he's killed all of his life. And as you learn his backstory, his parents were basically killed by during a battle. And I can't remember if it's from arms dealers or from people who got weapons from an arms dealer. But his deal is he hates arms dealers. He hates weapons to their core, but uses them so he can survive and exact his revenge, but really, really hates them. And a lot of times internally when he's cleaning his weapons or talking, he'll say things like, I hate that I have to keep you in good working order, but if I don't, I'll die because of your rusting. But I hate you. To his weapons, but he's very good with all of his weapons. And the character designs are very interesting. I think what I like most about this series is that so much emphasis is put on how a character looks, specifically their eyes and what they carry in their eyes, whether it's anger, sadness, crazy, or nothing, that really kind of gives you insight into how the character is going to develop in an episode and what may happen to them. So, as an example, Jonah is, you know, young-looking. I think when you look at him for most series, you would probably imagine him to be somewhere in the neighborhood of, like, 12 or 13.
Okay.
So, young boy. But with white hair and red eyes. And they're very cold.
Well, because he's a professional trained killer. It's all he knows.
Correct. And he joins Coco's group, which Coco has a bunch of bodyguards around her, a whole team. They're all very smart, and they all have their own specialties. So there are a couple of snipers. There are a couple of bomb expert guys, a really good getaway driver.
Do any of the snipers only have one eye?
No. All the snipers have both their eyes.
Do any of them wear patches?
Yes. There is one character who is a female, and she is actually in love with Coco, who's also a female. And she has one eye, and you learn that she lost an eye during a battle with a soldier who had what appeared to be, like, some kind of...
Penis?
Glock.
Oh.
No. Glock weapon that had a bayonet attached to it, and he dual-wielded them. And I'm guessing, like, she took a bullet in the eye or whatever.
Ooh.
That's why she lost one of her eyes. But she has gold eyes.
Okay.
And is totally, totally smitten with Coco.
which Coco knows and plays upon.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's a big theory about, you know, when characters are being created for animes, what their appearance is supposed to let you know about them. So eyes are usually a very big point of that, like how big the eye is, how small the eye is, how it looks when strained in a happy face, a sad face, an intense face. All this stuff can allude to character development before you even see a full arc of a show. So it seems like they're playing on those notions from what you're telling me of what they look like.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because they all have different builds. So, you know, there's the stoic veteran former military guy who doesn't like killing but does what he has to and is very good at it and doesn't have a problem killing women, children, or whatever.
Oh, he's pragmatic.
As long as it's to serve the goal. They don't kill willy-nilly. If they have to kill someone, then they have to go. So they go.
Right.
There's a young kid who's one of the snipers, and he has a mission and is unable to complete it because the person that he's supposed to shoot is a young girl. And so he hesitates pulling the trigger and then has this whole thing where he goes through trying to figure out whether or not he has what it takes to protect Coco or not. And what's interesting is as you progress through the anime, you realize that Coco is connected to Jonah before Jonah even joined her group. Because of her twin brother, who is more batshit crazy than Coco is. Coco's smart and is very good at outthinking her opponents. She doesn't really like weapons herself. It's just the role that she was given. And as you go through a few more episodes, you realize why she's doing it.
So it's not a scene, it's just a goddamn arms race?
Yeah, it is. It is. And she's very good at selling arms. But her real goal is, as far as taking Jonah on, is to help Jonah not be icy, cold, and disconnected, but really help him come out of his shell and connect and get emotional and not carry so many things on himself. Which is very interesting when it's juxtaposed to all of this violence and, you know, selling UAVs and weapons of mass destruction to countries and have bidding wars happen that, you know, she spends a whole episode trying to get Jonah to go shopping with her.
Like, don't you need new clothes?
No. And it ends up being, like, them on an outing to find this one person who's shopping to try and get them to contract with them for something. But until that happens, like, she is totally trying to play, like, big doting sister. And so the character that likes her, I don't know, I'm blanking on her name right now, is like getting steamed jealous in the background. And then, oh yeah, by the way, like the bad half of this thing is just them like setting booby traps and killing people and all that kind of stuff. So it's got a bunch of layers and it's really kind of interesting. If you have the Funimation streaming service, you can watch the first season either sub or dub.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched both the first couple of episodes subbed and dubbed. The sub is a little bit better, but the voices that they got for the dub aren't bad. So either way actually works for this series. There are 12 episodes that are available right now streaming. Like I said, I don't think Funimation yet has put up the second season for streaming yet, but that's Jorgamond Perfect Order for the second season. But the DVDs are, and Blu-rays too, which have a couple of OAV episodes on them. So I really enjoyed it. I think it's just enough fun and cuckoo crazy and high-paced to be fun. If nothing else. You know, there's no fan service other than, unless you like action, then it's chock full of fan service. So, Jorgamond and Jorgamond Perfect Order, make sure that you check them out. I thoroughly enjoyed them. I think I have, like, 2 episodes left on the first season, and then I'll probably pick up the DVDs just so that I can watch the second season, because I enjoyed it that much. Boom. So that's one season. One series, I meant to say, that I've been watching that I'm going to talk about. we're running pretty doggone close on time, so I'm going to leave Log Horizon until next week.
You meant that I want Log Horizon this week.
I did, but Yorgamon was so much fun. So Log Horizon we'll do next week, I promise, pinky swear. There's a shit ton of episodes of it, though, so you can watch that. I did tap into Pupa, which Pupa. Was the anime that Panda
I talked about last week.
Last week. And yeah, I got, like, 3 episodes in. I was like, no, not for me. This disgusting.
Didn't I told you.
This disgusting.
I told you.
I know, likey.
It's like, I'm going to eat my brother's insides now.
This is nasty. Ew, ew, ew. Yep. I do not like.
I know, the new episode's out. I gotta watch it.
Yeah, no. No, you don't have to, actually. You could just avoid it.
You didn't see it, though. You
know? Don't need to. Just don't. Don't.
Pupa!
Nope. Nope. Cute name. What? And that's about the only thing that's cute. And
wasn't the opening song just unsettling enough to be like,
Yes. It was. It's creepy.
It's very creepy.
It's creepy. And I felt dirty. Just listening to it.
Like, you shouldn't feel dirty.
No, not dirty like, yeah, dirty. Dirty like, oh, I want to wash myself because this is just
where's the Purell? Good.
Exactly. Exactly. I felt that kind of dirty.
Success.
So, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
I didn't really need it. So, that's what I got. Yorgamon, watch it. Check it out. You can catch it a couple different places. Funimation has it streaming. Hulu has it streaming, so you can check it out there. If you're watching it on Hulu and you're a freebied, I think you can see up to, like, episode 6. So you got a nice grouping of episodes that you can watch. But all 12 for the first season are available on Funimation. So make sure you check it out. That's what I got for the people this week. Video games and anime. Panda, what?
Nothing.
What? Yeah, that's right. I brought it.
You did.
And you bring me some things.
Yes. Too,
I do. Which is good things. Good things all around.
So.
It's that time where we tell you all the different places that you can interact with us and catch our stuff. Because it's about that time,
well,
people.
Well, I mean, first is the Ask Question of the Week.
Oh, you got a question?
Yeah. Last week's question was something that you liked about Irrational Games. Apparently, I made my question a little too...
Well, we tried to clarify it twice before we got out.
And they were it didn't really go anywhere, so I really wasn't expecting any responses, which we didn't get. So, I'm going to simplify it
for you. Yeah, you got to keep it simple for the people.
So, this week, the Ask Question of the Week is, which do you like better, Princess Peach or Zelda?
Ooh, your favorite princess.
Out of those two. And if you want to tell me why, you can, but otherwise you can just... You can just tell me who.
Who your favorite princess? Zelda or Peach?
Or Peach. Mm-hmm. And you can do that over at our Facebook page, over at Land of Esh. You can do it on Twitter by using the hashtag EshQuestion and Twittering us at ESH News, preferably. We are over on the VOG Network, so when our podcast gets aired there on Tuesday night... you can leave the response at the end of that post feed thing. Post feed. Vote.
Panda, do you know how the internet works?
Vote post.
You make a post and you can comment on it.
You can comment on the post of the podcast there. And yeah, those are the ways you can do it.
So, like Panda was trying to eloquently say,
the feed post,
and it didn't pop out. You can answer the Esh question of the week on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. We'll have it posted there. You can comment and tell us who your favorite princess is.
Who that be?
Why?
Who that be? Who that be?
Or you could hit us up on Twitter at ESH News. And tweet us using the hashtag EshQuestion with your answer. Or you can go to our page on VOG, check out the podcast post, and in the comments, tell us. There's so many different places you can tell us who your favorite princess is. We'll tell you who our favorite princess
would that be?
Is next week on our episode. And share your answers that we get from those places on our podcast. You can have 15 seconds of fame. Be internet famous. Who doesn't want to be internet famous? Nobody. Then you can check out the different things that we write about on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. The entire team writes reviews, previews, and opinion pieces over there. Make sure you check them out. You can get our podcast in the iTunes application, on your desktop, or on the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for Eshcast, Electric Sisterhood, and subscribing. We're also available via the Microsoft Store, doing the same thing, searching for Electric Sisterhood and subscribing, or get us on Stitcher now. That's right, you can use the Stitcher app, search for Electric Sisterhood, and subscribe there, and get the Eshness that way. Oh yeah, we're all upon your tubes, and we're not the only things on your tubes. Because while brand new episodes come out on Mondays and air on the VOG Network on Tuesday you can follow up that new episode of our podcast with a brand spanking new episode of No Borders, No Race, held down by our homeboy King Baby Duck. Talk about all different kinds of stuff over there, including indie music, movies, reviews, games, anime, manga, Japanese culture. It's just all over the place, and it's so wonderful. Make sure you check it out. On Wednesdays, a brand new episode of Geek Aggro hosted by our boy Deuces Wild. New stuff in EDM, trap music, beats to move your feet. It's amazing. Make sure you check it out. I guarantee you will enjoy Geek Aggro. It makes my heart rate go. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues.
He's got issues.
Y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy call in live program. Make sure that you do it. Dude is funny as hell.
And he looks like a young Weird Al.
Yes. Or Tiny Tim. Pick him. Just be a part of it. And for the rest of the week, like Pandacy said, keeping your nerd needs satiated, there's all the stuff that we write about on our websites, our podcast, which you can also get through our main website, www.electricsisterhood.com. We are all of the tubes for you. If you've got questions, we've got answers. If there's something you want us to do a review of, or if you've got questions about it and want to know our opinion, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Facebook, and share. We'll be sure to check it out. We love hearing from you guys. So with that, I turn to my sister and I say, hey, sis.
Hi.
What shit you digging this week?
Dunkin' Love. So it's a parody video of Drunken Love, but it's about Dunkin' Donuts and these people's love of Dunkin' Donuts. That is my shit I dig this week. If you haven't seen that video, please do. Nice. Please do.
Nice.
What shit are you digging this week, sis?
I gotta be honest with you. This week, I'm digging a couple of different things, but I'm just gonna keep it tight to one. Gunner Optics. I've been playing again with my gunners on, and my eyes have been thanking me, so I gotta give a shout-out to Gunner, making great gaming glasses, as always. I just need more pairs in my life, basically. I need to make that happen. So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out until next week, guys. Bye, everybody.
Toodles.